Hey, good morning, everyone here. Welcome to our services. When they asked me to share a message, I was told it would be on Palm Sunday, and I was asked if I could make a mention of that, and also of communion. And I believe communion is next Friday. So, I came up with two key verses for the message will be Psalms 139, 23, and 24. I have down in the bulletin, preparing our hearts, but I was thinking about that we could also apply Search My Heart for the message today. Psalm 139, 23, and 24 says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along a path of everlasting life. To me, that's a powerful prayer. That's a personal invitation for God into our hearts to guide us. And I'm going to go over to what I want to do is show a few examples of what God is looking for us in preparing our hearts. In my opinion, it's not much different in preparing our hearts for communion than there is for preparing our hearts for God on His final return. I have a few things that I'd like to point out in what God is looking for, and then one example of what Jesus did, that Jesus did for our example. I know it's not a whole lot, but it's a scratch in the surface, just a scratch in the surface from all the examples that we have. So in Isaiah 57, verse 15, He says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. So he's looking for contrite, humble, and repentant hearts is what he's looking for. Isaiah 66:2, he says, My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. And that's confirming what he's looking for. Bible dictionary, contrite heart, repentant, broken in spirit, humble. Bible dictionary for humble, showing awareness of one's shortcomings, not proud, meek, deeply respectful. That's what God's looking for. And repentance, a feeling of sorrow, especially for wrongdoing. Then it went to repent. To feel so contrite over one's sins as to change or decide to change one's way. To feel such regret or dissatisfaction over as to change one's mind. Is what he's looking for here. And then if we go to 1 Corinthians 11:26, he shows us, he gives us a little bit of what he's looking for us here. I'm going to I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 26 through 29 for what he's looking for in preparation of communion. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Paul says, examine yourself. He doesn't mention anything about examining anybody around us or anybody examining us. We are to examine ourselves. Webster's dictionary on examine says, to inspect or analyze. And the Bible reading says Bible dictionary says to inspect or analyze our heart motives. Webster's dictionary on honor, to respect greatly, treat with deference and courtesy, to worship, exalt. And deference meaning is yielding in opinion, judgment, wishes, courteous, regard, or respect. And so that's what we're to examine ourselves. Are we honoring God? What should we change here? And then we're going over to Micah. Micah 6:8. Says no. I'm gonna read 7 first. When we read of this repentant hearts, broken spirit, humble, and everything, then we go to the Lord's case against Israel. Is where this comes out of. Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. Do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Showing awareness of one's shortcomings, not proud, meek, deeply respectful. That's what he's looking for. And in Matthew 21, 1 through 11 is the, I was going to read for the, entry and for Jesus coming in, and if I can find my spot here. For our triumphant entry. And I'm going to read that in the King James Version. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied to a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So Jesus came in on a donkey. That was a sign of humility in those times. And he rode on the clothes of the poor and the humble. And the word Hosanna, in the Bible dictionary, Hosanna is often thought of as a declaration of praise, similar to Hallelujah, but it is actually a plea for salvation. The Hebrew root words are found in Psalm 118:25, which says, Please, Lord, please save us. The Hebrew words Yasha means deliver and save, and Anna is beg and beseech. Combined to form the words that in English is Hosanna. Literally, Hosanna means I beg you to save or please deliver us. So if I have my history correct, there were three different crowds of people in Jerusalem at that time. And they were all looking for someone to lead them in a revolt against the Roman Empire at that time. And they thought Jesus was the one that's going to do it. But Jesus was not going to do that to them. He had bigger things that he wanted to take care of. And I wrote down, Jesus rode into Jerusalem to make public his claim to be their Messiah and King of Israel, in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. And that says, Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout out in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. So this same Jesus that rode into Jerusalem, that everybody was yelling Hosanna and praise be to him, we have to remember, is the same man 4 days later, they were yelling, Crucify him, crucify him. It was the same crowd. Jesus rides into his capital city as a conquering king, is hailed by the people as such in the manner of that day. Jesus received the worship and praise of the people because only he deserves it. The spreading of cloaks was an act of homage for royalty. In 2 Kings 9:13, you can read 2 Kings 9:11 through 13. Jehu went back to his fellow officers, and one of them asked him, What did that madman want? Is everything all right? You know how a man like that babbles on, Jehu replied. You're hiding something, they said. Tell us. So Jehu told them. He said to me, This is what the Lord says. I have anointed you to be king over Israel. Then they quickly spread out their cloaks on the bare steps and blew the ram's horn, shouting, Jehu is king. So in that time, that was a custom for kings to throw their garments, leaves and stuff down for them to walk on. Jesus was openly declaring to the people that he was their king and the Messiah they had been looking for. Jesus' triumphant entry is the story of the king who came as a lowly servant on a borrowed donkey, not a prancing horse, not in royal robes, but on the clothes of the poor and humble. Jesus Christ came not to conquer by force as earthly kings, but by love, grace, mercy, and his own sacrifice for his people. His is not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He conquers not nations, but hearts and minds. His message is one of peace with God, not of temporal peace. In this story, Jesus showed us what he's looking for, the humility and lowliness that he is looking for. Lowly, in the Webster's dictionary, humbly, meek, low position or rank. Servanthood. American Heritage Dictionary says, one who expresses submission or debt to another. Bible Dictionary says, see deacon. And then it gives deacon. In the New Testament, the name of a class of congregational office bearers first mentioned about A.D. 63. Their work seems chiefly to have been the visiting and relief of the poor. And that's what Jesus was here for. Servant in the Webster's Dictionary says, a slave, a person ardently devoted to another or to a cause. So Jesus was a servant for the cause of salvation, for us to free us from our sins. So Jesus was the servant so that we can, his mission was to bring us salvation. So if Jesus has made a triumphal entry into our hearts, he reigns there in peace and love. So if Jesus reigns in our hearts, and he reigns there with love, we should be praying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along a path of everlasting life. As followers, we exhibit those same qualities, and the world sees the true King living and reigning in triumph in us. And then going back to the know, test me and know me. To know in the Bible means intimate, very personal. Psalm 139:24 is a personal invitation to God to come into our hearts to examine us and show us our sins and wrongdoings. Are our hearts prepared for that? Are we prepared to have Jesus come into our heart as we examine ourselves to show us what we're doing wrong? And going over to Psalm 51. 10 and 11 says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I think that flows right in with search me and know my heart. If we're personal, if we get personal with God, God will get personal with us. Are we prepared to make changes in our life if God convicts us of something? And Psalm 52:16, I'm going to read 12, then 16 and 17. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Are our hearts prepared that when we go into prayer, our hearts prepared to give up self and serve our brothers, our sisters, and even people that may not like us? Are we prepared to serve them? I also have a note for the challenge of the week. Psalm 139:23-24 is my challenge for this week. Can I pray this every morning and have an open heart and accept what Jesus has for us? I guess I'd just like to challenge everybody on that. Like I said, to me it's not a whole lot of difference. Are we preparing for communion when we search our hearts, or are we preparing for judgment day? Jesus is coming, and are we ready for that? So I guess that is pretty much all I have, and I'll turn it back over to Sheldon. He's got a few more things that he wants to share.